Welcome to Polesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Polesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Polesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. In his message titled, Get Your Free Stuff, Reverend David Williams tells us that so much of this world is false and negative. We can trust no one because they are only out for themselves. God's path is providing love and grace without a cost. We are called to provide the world with love and grace at the same price. Rise up and accept the challenge. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word.
Please be seated. We gather in this space coming from a world where everything is about exchange. Everything is about trade and selling. Everything is about what you can get that will make you better, stronger, wealthier, more influential. That's a world that we live in. It comes to define our souls. It's the culture we inhabit. It's a world where we strive for more power, more things, more wealth, more self. And that has never worked all that well, but it affects us in all that we do. It gives us a hunger for power and rightness and control that often turns us from God's grace. Let's now confess how our desire for power and success turns us from what God calls us to do for one another. Let's admit that in the prayer of confession that's found in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious God, loving God, nothing feels better to us than knowing we're right. We like that feeling of power, that feeling that we know what's going on, that we're clued in ways that other are not. And so we seek things that reinforce us in our correctness and close our eyes to those things that would help us grow in grace. So we stay in our errors and build high walls around our brokenness. For our willful blindness, Lord, please forgive us. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today's third scripture lesson is drawn from the book of the prophet Isaiah. I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. You can follow along on page 685 of your pew Old Testament. Let's listen again for God's word. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come. Buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Being a fully quarter Scot, you think that I would really appreciate every opportunity to get a free thing. Because it's free, you know? I mean, there's nothing better than something you don't have to pay for. So the idea goes, but honestly, I don't think that's true. Because generally, if someone offers me a free thing, my first thought is not, cool, awesome, I will take your free thing. I am pleased to receive your free thing because it cost me nothing. My first thought is this: why are you offering me this free thing? Is this actually a free thing? Like, for example, in my mailbox and in my email box, on pretty much a weekly basis, I will hear from telecommunications companies that are telling me that I am now eligible to get a free phone. A brand new phone. Totally free. And I should be excited. I should be excited. This is a new offer just for me. Just for me exclusively, because I am extremely special. And all I need to do to get this free phone is to buy another phone, which will cost me $1,000, and then sign up for a data plan that will cost me an additional $50 a month above what I'm already paying for the next 3 years, but the phone is free. That's the way we think of free things. And it's more the case now that so many of the things that we used to pay for, we don't. I mean, like, when I was a younger spud, I bought music regularly. I would buy music. But now, with the interwebs, this new epicenter of wonderful things that you get completely for free, I don't. I could pay for Spotify, like the rest of my family, but I'm a Scot, so I just go directly to YouTube, where I listen to music. I search for it, I give it a listen. And there's nothing that says free music is awesome like being halfway through a Rachmaninoff piano concerto and having it interrupted by a 30-second ad for a car selling service, followed by another 30-second ad for some new pharmaceutical that they assume, because I'm 50, I must need. I'm not wrong, but it annoys me. It's free, but only with that little edge. Or like the wonderful free services of the social media that so many of us consume, which are completely free, entirely free. Just sign up. Don't need to pay a dime. And for that, you get connected with current friends and old friends and college friends, and it keeps you abreast of all the interesting things going on in the world, and it's all completely free. Completely free. And so we do, and we have, by the hundreds of millions engaged with this new, delightful, free service. But we know why free social media is free, or we should. Why is free social media free? It's free because you're not the customer. You aren't. You are not the customer. You are the product. If you're on a free social media service, as far as they're concerned, we're not the customer. We are the thing that they sell. Our information, our identities, our interests, our friends, our likes, our opinions, that is what they are harvesting. Just as surely as a farmer harvests corn at the appropriate season, we are packaged and resold to advertisers. That's why it's free. Because, you know, I mean, how much do you charge the corn for being harvested? How much do you charge the cattle as you're taking them off to turn them into whatever is going to be served at McDonald's in a month or two? You don't. And so we don't trust free stuff. Because in our world, we understand the dynamics of exchange, of giving and getting in return. It's a very natural, very human way of interacting, one that leaves us wary. It leaves us cautious and defensive of our own self-interest. You have to be an informed consumer. You have to have that motto, caveat emptor, in front of our eyes at all times. And that means buyer beware, especially when it's free. Beware. And so we approach things with caution and with hard-won and hard-learned cynicism about things that are offered for nothing, that are simply there. And yet in Scripture today, that sense that I have that free stuff is bad or not to be trusted gets a little challenge from the book of Isaiah. Today's pointed little section comes to us from 2nd Isaiah, that central part of the book that was written and preached 500 years before Jesus by a prophet who wrote in Isaiah's name. And those visions and proclamations don't describe a comfortable people. They're not a time of ease. They don't come from a place where people could trust the worlds around them. Because this was written at a time when the people of Judah were enslaved, off in Babylonian exile, and surrounded by power and wealth and glitter and gold. What the enslaved Judeans who'd been dragged off to Babylon saw was really the most powerful place that humanity at that point had ever known. They saw towers. They saw wonders of the world. What are the Babylonian wonder of the world? What did they have? They had gardens, which were more impressive than ours, I think. You know, the giant, massive gardens. They didn't get a grant, though. I'm sure they didn't get a grant. And they saw these great golden statues to Babylonian gods and the gods of all of the peoples that Babylon had captured. They saw the force of arms of a mighty empire that dwarfed even the greatest aspirations of their people. They saw in the hands of those who had enslaved them all of the wealth of the world appeared to reside. And from that place, observing that power, it was easy for the people of Judah in exile to feel hopeless, to feel this sense of despair. But the word of God that came to Isaiah defied that despair, defied that hopelessness. It was an intense and shattering hope. A word that came directly from that prophet's sense of being filled with the Spirit of the living God, a word of intense confidence in the power of God to restore the best hopes of that people, and a word that challenged their assumptions about what had value and what did not. at the heart of that declaration, at the beginning of it, as is often the case in Scripture, it starts with the image of a meal. Isaiah, both this writer who wrote in his name and the original writer in Jerusalem, they love talking about food. Jewish family, I know exactly how that is. But it's that way with most of us. Food is just a core image. And so what we get is from Isaiah this vision of a meal, of wine, of milk, of bread, intended not just for the wealthy and the powerful, but for all. The kind of meal that would cost you nothing. And it's not just intended for the people of Judah. Hear this meal without price. Hear this thing that will nourish and sustain and delight. And it's not just for you, but it's also for everyone. For all nations who will be drawn into this free gift, drawn in from all the world to this crazy freebie of a meal. And you have to wonder how a broken people would hear that, where everything you know is defined by power and exchange. How would they hear that? Would they be able to hear it as, wow, this is great, this is awesome, this free thing? Or would they bring to it this cynicism that we have whenever someone makes such an offer? All right, it's free, but what else do I have to buy? I mean, come on, there's something else. What's the catch? That's going to be our response when we encounter something from the heart of the cynicism that the world has taught us. But there's nothing really free. And so how does the prophet end this as the voice of the Lord sings in their throat, as it sings out from them? Yeah, that's not how things work with you. That is not how you do things, says the voice of God through the prophet. But that's not how God works. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. We have trouble from our place and the form of culture and power and wealth that has always defined human exchange, realizing that the generosity of God's infinite compassion is there for us, period. That it's present in all things, that God is generous and loving, and if we deserve it, because we've been so good and we've been so righteous, God loves us. And if we have been broken and bitter and hateful and resentful, God loves us. And that confuses us. Well, we have to have earned it in some way. There has to have been something we have done to justify this radiant grace. And from Isaiah, and from elsewhere in Scripture, we hear, no, this is not a thing that you purchase. This is not a thing that you buy. This is the kind of meal that nourishes, sustains, and delight, because that's what God desires for us. It cannot be purchased any more than a flake of snow or the light of the moon in the evening or the heavens above us. And that's something we'll have to figure out as God calls us both to embrace that love and have that love be what pours forth from us as a healing offering, as a healing meal to a world that hungers to know God's love and justice. So, I'm not saying necessarily get less skeptical about whatever Mark Zuckerberg's next product offering to us is. But don't let that cynicism that comes from a world that operates only that way color your understanding of how God is calling you to love your neighbor and to work for the transformation of this world in your soul and around you. Let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
It is so easy, day by day and week by week, to build a hard and cynical soul about the world we inhabit. So much is false, so much is grasping, so much is trying to get me to spend money that I don't want to. And so much of it is so negative. And in the face of all of that, we can say, everyone's out for their own interest. Everyone is trying to manipulate me, either for financial gain or for political power. And I can trust no one. No one. And that might seem like a wise place, but it's also a very closed place. It's a very tight wall we are asked to build around our souls. And it is not a place that is generous or kind or open. And from the prophet Isaiah today, we hear that that is not God's way. That path, that way of being, is not how God operates. The God who casts the heavens above us isn't really particularly trying to hold back anything or expecting us to pay for God's abundance with anything other than thanks and acceptance. That is the meal without price that God gives us. That is the way that God shows us love in the person of Jesus, who was loving of those who hated him to the point where he could be there crucified and call for their forgiveness. That kind of radiant, abundant love is what we are called to offer the world, a meal without price. Here, come and eat. Step out into this cynical world with that abundance of heart. And if it's something you struggle with, work on it. That is the challenge of this path that Jesus lays before us. Let's rise up and accept that challenge of the new life he offers. And so now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us for today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.